This is the Celebrity Authority Show. Please welcome your host, Sam Cawthorne.
And here we are back again at the Celebrity Authority Show. Super excited about today. We have Demian Khoury here, who is a researcher into the future of thinking. Demian, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Damn good to be here.
The future of thinking. Tell me more. What does that mean?
Okay. For the last 2,500 years of Western civilization, basically, we've been left-brained. We've been analytical, left-brained, and that has been one of the main reasons why Western civilization has been so successful. But unfortunately, those days are very much numbered. Because one thing I learned many years ago when I first studied computer science, this is back in the 80s, I learned that anything that the left brain can do, any problem that can be solved by the left brain, computers could do faster. Now, back when I learned it, you know, more than 20 years ago, that was just an interesting idea, but it had no practical application. The problem is now, with intelligent computers, machine learning, artificial intelligence, that theoretical possibility 25 years ago is now a reality. And what we're finding is that within the next 20 years, every one of the 80% of the jobs that the modern economy requires that uses our left brain will be gone.
Hey, tell us more about left brain, right brain. What exactly is that? We've all heard of it, but is it, you know, tell us exactly what that means.
Okay. It was a model of the brain that was discovered. In fact, it won a Nobel Prize just over 40 years ago. It's not exactly how the brain works, but it's a perfect way of describing it. Basically, the brain works in two modes. Left brain, analytical, it's your linear thinking, it's your logical thinking, it's, you know, what's this step, then what's the logical next step, okay? And most jobs require that. That's our natural way of thinking. But there's another mode, the creative mode, the right brain. And, you know, that's the mode that we're using when we're thinking new ideas, when we're thinking in ways that just don't seem logical, but they're new ideas, there's new discoveries, and that's basically where 20% of us live. But unfortunately, it is what's going to be required in the next 20 years, and our modern education system has just not prepared us for it.
Hey, Demian, fascinating conversation already. Tell us a little bit more about your journey for you to now become a real thought leader in this space and a researcher in the space of the future of thinking.
Hey, that was actually kind of interesting. Because I'm naturally a left-brain guy. I was originally an award-winning physicist, right? I moved into finance. I was chief analyst at Citibank. I was about as left-brained as you can get.
Wow.
But then there was a turning point in my life in my early 20s. Just imagine this. I was at home and I was doing an assignment for uni. And then something happened. There was a blackout.
Just a whole... Like the lights.
The lights.
No,
the lights.
Not a brain.
No, just the lights, right? The lights. And I thought, okay, well, what's going on? There was, you know, no lights. And I looked out the window, was, you know, see how much of the rest of the street was blacked out, and no other houses had the lights off. It was just us. Then my dad walked in. Now, you've got to understand my dad. My dad was my hero, right? And, you know, like my dad was a long-range navigator in World War II. Like, he was such a great guy. You know the average life expectancy for navigators and crews doing those long ranges in the Air Force in World War II is about 18 missions. My dad did 43. He was an amazing guy. And there he was. He walked into my room with the candle, put the candle on the desk, and he explained that his clothing business that he started 15 years earlier had failed. And he was unable to pay the electricity. I mean, this is my dad. This is my dad who survived the most ferocious war in the history of human civilization. And he did not survive the modern economy. And I just thought, how could that happen? How could his thinking, I mean, he was a powerful thinker and his thinking had been spectacularly successful up to that point in his life. But unfortunately, that thinking was no longer relevant. And it occurred to me that was a perfect metaphor for what's happening in the whole world now.
Okay.
We've been so successful up till now, but we now need different thinking. Because the fact is, as I said, everything that the left brain can do, computers can now do. So if we want to keep working, into the future, if we want to continue to grow businesses that thrive, we have to use our brains in ways that computers can't.
So we're at a real pivotal moment right now in history.
This is it. This is, in fact, this is what I call the crossover.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that most futurists I speak to don't understand, because we've had innovation, you know, for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And most futurists are saying, well, you know, innovation has always been with us, you know, industrialization, automation, but human ingenuity has always stayed just ahead of innovation. And so, you know, as some jobs get replaced, okay, some people lose their jobs with innovation, major change, but the economy grows and human ingenuity creates new opportunities. And that has always been the case. But over the next 20 years, what I'm seeing is a crossover of the curves where the pace of innovation is going to overtake our ability to adapt if we keep using our brains the same way. Because the fact is, and I keep on repeating it, whatever the left brain can do, computers can now do. So if we keep on thinking the way we've been thinking up till now, we lose.
So how do we cross over well? And also, by the way, did your dad end up getting the lights back on? So how do we cross over well?
Well, this is the beauty of it. As we rebirth his business, okay, my dad spent the obligatory 2 years in the wilderness, but then he didn't give up. I mean, that was the spirit of that generation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he and I worked together. I mean, I used to, you know, help him with the business, generating new ideas. And basically, a lot of the techniques that we teach in the future of thinking were actually developed in the 80s with the new ideas for my dad's business. And essentially, there's three steps. This is it, the three steps. First of all, you've got to, what I call, limber up your brain. Just start doing new things, reading newspapers you've never read before, eating things you've never eaten before.
So disrupting patterns.
Basically, exactly,
up,
yeah. That's right. Just introducing your mind to new sights, new sounds, new smells, new thoughts, new people, new everything. Okay, that's a limbering up process.
And that's hard for a left brain, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, but everybody can do it.
Yeah, that's good.
The next step, once you've limbered up your brain, the next step is to draw a big map, what I call build a big list. And left brain people love doing this, okay, right? Build a big list of everything about your business, your life, your product or whatever. And that's what my dad and I did. We just built a list of, like, it was a clothing business, ladies sleepwear. Mm. And we built a big list of everything about the product. You know, the size, the shape, the colors, the materials, the buttons, even the buttons. You know, the size of the buttons, the hole in the buttons, the shape of the buttons, the color of the buttons, the material of the buttons, like everything. Like, it was 150 things about this one product. And what that does is it maps out a terrain. The third step, and this is the key, is to start disrupting patterns into the future. And you've got to understand the way the brain works, right? Just imagine the brain as being a flatbed of sand. Imagine a flatbed, like when you're first born, there are no preconceived ideas. You've got instincts, that's about it, but you've got no preconceived ideas. There are no patterns already formed in your brains other than those you inherit in your DNA. Okay. You open your eyes for the first time and there's a new experience. And so that's like a whole lot of marbles being thrown onto the flatbed of sand, and it forms a couple of shallow grooves.
Right.
And they're the first patterns. And then the next second, another handful of marbles and a few more grooves. And what eventually happens is a few grooves form in the sand.
Yes.
And those repeated patterns and repeated experiences, and they're different for everybody. But as repeated patterns and experiences form, the grooves become deeper and they become our standard way of thinking. They become our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And the deeper the experiences, the older we get, the deeper the groove. So every time we have a new experience, right, the marbles typically fall into the grooves and they become our rigid way of thinking.
Yeah.
And every one of the techniques that we teach in the Future of Thinking workshops is about getting the marbles, getting the marbles out of the shallows, getting the marbles out of the grooves.
Right.
And so like a typical example is to create
a... It's a great analogy, by the way.
It's a good analogy.
It's a really
and,
great.
And the fact is it works.
Yeah.
Okay, create a problem you never knew you had. That's one. Like, because when you've got a problem that you've never seen before, the left brain's got no answer to it. And so what happens is the left brain gets out of the way and allows the right brain to take over. So one of the things my dad did, one day he thought two of his sewing machines went down. And we just, okay, we fixed the problem, but then we imagined this problem.
Yeah.
What if all of the machines failed? Now, obviously, they never did, but we just imagined it.
Okay.
Imagine if, and when I use this word to provoke the problem, the problem thinking.
Yeah.
Imagine if all the machines went down. What would happen? What would you do? And we just started thinking new ways. Yeah. You know the result of that? Yeah. Within 6 months, my dad actually got rid of every sewing machine in his factory.
So because, how could he produce?
Because he realised that there were large numbers of people around Sydney who had sewing machines at home, were quite happy to use them. And what he did, he became a delivery guy, and he would take his cut pieces to all these, what he called outworkers, who would use their own sewing machine and charge him much cheaper than what he could have done it by owning the factory space himself. In fact, what...
He Ubered the industry.
Back in 1985. He did it in 1985 before anybody had heard of Airbnb or anything like that. Okay, and it all came from disrupting patterns. So that's the three steps. Limber up your own mind. Create a terrain. Create a map of everything you can possibly change. And then find ways of disrupting the patterns.
Dimian, absolutely clear, and I visualised all that, and really, really great way to start thinking about the future of thinking. Tell, what's next for you?
Okay, we are developing a large number of techniques, online training, and one of the interesting things we're doing with the seminars, with my professional speaking, Rex, because you know something I didn't mention, I actually run a video and animation studio. Look, here's me, Mr. Left Brain, right? Running a video and animation studio.
So from analyst at Citibank to now creating.
Exactly, and that's the whole left brain, right brain thing. I've shown that I can make that transition from left brain to right brain thinking, and that's what I want to do, guide other people to do the same, to show that everyone can learn to wake up their right brain. And I mean, and I've proved it. I mean, I have watched chief executives, accountants, receptionists, all use their right brains for the first time in their life. In fact, a lot of them tell me, they said their right brain, their creative side, has been asleep since early childhood. Right? And now they feel that they can take on the next 20 years with confidence. Right. It is absolutely transformative.
Right. You know, and exactly what you're saying, we are in the crossroads right now.
Yeah, this is the crossover.
Yeah. Hey, Dimian, thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. Absolutely loved today's today's interview. However, just before you go, we have a bit of a challenge.
Okay.
And this challenge is called the 10 questions in 60 second challenge. So, Dimian Khoury, do you accept the challenge?
I'm in.
All right, Dimian, your time starts now. Favorite color?
Red at a wavelength of 732.5 nanometers.
You can tell you're left brain. Favorite food?
Lebanese food.
Lebanese.
Vegetarian, of course.
Yes. Favorite celebrity?
Our friend Pat Farmer.
Pat Farmer. He's the runner. Yeah.
Ultra marathon runner. Yeah.
Brilliant guy. Yeah. We've had him speak.
Absolutely.
We've actually interviewed him before. Favorite actor?
Sean Connery.
Oh, come on. The Rock. Yeah. Favourite professional speaker?
Kendall Hall, who taught me the real meaning of story. Remember at the NSA conference?
Yeah. Brilliant. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. Favourite book?
Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
I haven't read that one.
Okay.
It's a novel?
It's a novel that mixes philosophy with fiction.
Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. There you go. Favourite movie?
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. They should make a remake of that, you know. Favourite city?
New York.
New York.
Interesting place.
Favourite drink?
Martini. Shaken, not stirred.
Ah, very good. Very good. Favourite pizza topping?
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian pizza. And Dimian Khoury, if you could be an animal, which animal would you be?
No doubt. The black swan. An animal that for hundreds of years nobody believed could exist until we changed our view of the world, discovered Western Australia, and discovered not all swans are white. There are such things as black swans. It opened up new possibilities to thinking. That is my animal.
I absolutely love that. Dimian Khoury, thank you so much for joining us here in the Celebrity Authority Show.
Thank you, Sam.